Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those windsome old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Thank you. children, and if they need some man, you've got the phone and the number, and I got no future plan. Oh, come on, honey, you got nothing to lose. You got the thirst, I got the booze. Give you an inch, take you a mile. I wanna make you cry. I'm a live wire. I'm a live wire. I'm a live wire. Holy smokes, what is that?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Why? dragon money.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to Mad Science. I just put a call out in the Mad Science room to see how many people were picking up. Who do we got in here? Anybody?
Me.
Hey, we got Raymond.
Reverend.
We got Justin.
Muddy.
We got Muddy.
Top of the morning to you.
Cool. Say, I put a couple videos out in the chat room over there at Shaziz Radio and Wake Radio in the super chat room there. Some LEDs. Have you, any of you looked into the actual technology of the LED itself? Well, they're really super high-tech, amazing little nifty gizmos. I've been taking around with them for quite some time. When I'm out there, I'm running Tesla coils and stuff like that. You can get LEDs to light up. Muddy, you used to tell me a long time ago whenever you were doing radio. Who's got the fan blowing in the background? You could tell when your friend was getting close by having a coil of wire and connected to an LED so that, you know, whenever they keyed up on their microphone, the brighter that LED got, that, you know, that you could tell they were closer. And that got me to thinking a long time ago, whenever you first told me about that, and I did run a lot of tests with it.
Yeah, he was basically, he'd get anywhere between like probably about 10, 15 blocks away, and if he keyed up on his microphone, that LED would lit. And also I put a volume knobs, potentiometer or variable resistor, as people call them. Put one of those in series with a regular crystal diode and a meter, and basically I can adjust the sensitivity of it as it got closer. Watch my meter peg.
Well, there's something really unique going on inside the LED. There's actually quite a bit going on in there, but has to do with photons and electrons and stuff releasing light. But anyway, I noticed you can actually take a red LED. Anybody who wants to try this could check it out. You could take a red LED and you can hook it up to a voltmeter and go hold it out underneath the sunlight, and you can watch it raise the voltage up there. You can actually charge capacitors using a little red LED. It doesn't always have to be just red either, because there's a whole bunch of different LEDs that will do the same thing. Last night I took two LEDs and I ran them in series with a capacitor, and I was able to double the voltage coming out, which started off with one LED, made it up to about a half a volt, and then two LEDs made it almost up to a full volt in a capacitor.
Yeah, that's just thermal.
Well, regardless of whether it's thermal or whatever, the fact is you can get visible light out of an LED with with low power going in, and you can also use that same deal in reverse to actually get energy out the other direction with the same. Does anybody understand what it is I'm trying to say here?
Yes, sir. I understand exactly what you're saying.
All right. Well, anyway, the chemistry that's going on inside there, the way that the LEDs that's actually put up, you'd actually have to do a little bit of research and watch these videos to understand what I'm trying to point out. But there's some exotic materials that have been put together that are changing energy from one form to another, such as when I'm firing up my Tesla coil, I got radiant energy going through the air, and I'm picking it up with LEDs on the same kind of system like Muddy was doing with his picking up his wireless transmission, or from his buddy calling in on the CB or whatever.
Right.
And then using the Slayer exciter that Ryan and Terry and G. Bluer and all of them's been messing around with, I can do the same thing, but it's a different kind of energy that's going on. So it tells me that there's something a whole lot more to the chemistry and material makeup of the LED that could be expanded on. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you could also use an LED to put it out in the sun, and it'll make a charge for you.
Yeah, well, the key, I guess, what I'm trying to point out is the Slayer Exciter is putting out a whole total different energy than the Tesla coil is putting out. You know, the range, the frequency range. But either way, how the interaction actually works inside there is the material is interacting with the electrons and creating visible light. You know, and light is heat, and heat is light, vice versa. So, with that said, there's something going on there, and there's even spectrums of light that you can't see that are not visible light.
Yeah, you know, for clarification, I'd like to ask a question: does it make any difference what angle you're holding that LED to the sunlight?
It don't seem to.
So, in other words, a solar panel to produce electricity from photovoltaics would be far easier to if you used LEDs instead of silicon.
Well, yeah, and that would probably work as well. But what I'm trying to get to is I think that the key to making like say the Slayer Exciter, let's take that one for example. We know that we can light up fluorescent light bulbs. There's some energy, wireless energy going on. We know we can light up fluorescent light bulbs. And we know that we can light up LEDs. And I've even seen incandescent light bulbs lit up, which tells me that, you know, there's some really intense power going on when you're doing that. So it's changing that energy back into usable energy on the other side. That's the trick, because we're floating in a sea of energy right now. If you got an exotic material such as what the LEDs are made up of, and you're able to pick that frequency up and then take that frequency and change it back into a usable frequency, like how I do it with capacitors, I connect.
That's stupid. Sorry to interrupt you, Sis. That's one of the first paragraphs that they mention and illustrate in many writings, is that a Tesla coil can transmit frequency and you can receive it as usable energy. They write that in many, many sentences in many different ways in many forms all over in all of these books. Yes, why are we plugging our radio into the wall? That's because if we plug it in, we get the bill. If we make the device to pick up that certain frequency and turn it into usable energy, now the radio station has a massive load on them, and we will burn them out.
No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that because I've sat there and I started off using the Tesla coil, and I've done the same thing with the Slayer Exciter, and I've seen how many different devices. Like I make these little circuits. I'm going to be doing a video here pretty soon, but I make these little circuits, and I keep putting them all around this thing. I can put as many as I want around this thing without even changing how much voltage or anything dropping in intensity or whatever. The only way that you can drop the intensity is maybe to move one farther away from the other, out of range of that that field that's being produced. But the key is this: if you can pick up the energy from with the LED, you can pick up light energy from it. You can pick up radiant energy from it. All it has to have is that electron flow going inside that that exotic material there that is actually producing the energy. So if you could expand on what they did to actually build the LED, and I'm seeing somewhat by Robert Murray Smith's work, because he's doing some graphene technology and he's able to pick up some pretty amazing results off of his research. Anybody been studying Robert Murray Smith's work?
Robert Murray Smith? No.
Yeah, he does all kinds of stuff. He literally painted on the wall a heater element using graphene technology as conductive ink.
Now, we had Robert Murray Smith on here a while ago, and yeah, you remember Robert Murray Smith. He was talking about making the batteries with the graphene.
Well, if what I believe is possible, and I know it is, to change that into really serious usable current, you could get electricity out of any frequency. It's all energy. It's all electricity. It's just in a different form. It's just a different frequency range. So everything so much as a leaf wiggling around, messing with the molecules in the air, is producing a charge. You know, is it significant enough to do anything with? Obviously not. But there's a lot of leaves blowing out there at any given time. You see where I'm coming from?
Yes, I do, and I love your idea. I've said it over and over again.
Well, I think that this LED technology is definitely worth looking into, and I think that if you could expand on what it is that they're doing when they're actually, they're making, you know, layers, and actually in the graphene world, that's what they're also doing as well, making layers of basically crystal structures or carbon that is picking up, you know, energy. He made an antenna out of this paintable graphite or graphene or whatever that he's been doing. If you haven't checked out Robert Murray Smith, go over and check out his YouTube channel and watch some of the things that he's coming up with. And he's making everything from batteries to antennas to heaters on the wall with that he's painting on there, you know. It's pretty amazing stuff. But I think, you know, at first I got to thinking, because there's two different types of LEDs. There's just a regular LED, the light emitting diode, and then there's an OLED, the newer ones, like they use in on the cell phone. An OLED is an organic LED where there's certain chemicals or certain organics that will react to electron flow and emit light. Either way, vice versa, it's energy either way, and all you're doing is moving it from one point to the next.
Really, it's just one of those deals where if you use electricity to run it one way, whatever it does, if you do the opposite, it will make electricity.
Yeah, kind of like a permanent magnet motor, you know. Put electricity in one side, you turn the motor. You turn the motor to the opposite direction, it puts electricity out the opposite side.
Right.
And so, if you can pick up the visible light spectrum, and you can pick up the invisible light spectrum, you can literally have a solar panel that would work day and night, because even at night, there's still light going on, believe it or not, you know, in the infrared spectrum. Or
definitely. Whatever.
And so, if you got a solar panel that can work 24 hours a day, you got the holy grail of energy right there. You know, you see what I'm saying?
I do. I see exactly what you're saying. That's cool.
So, knowing how the LED works, and it's almost like pulling teeth to try to get anybody to get into real dirt specifics of the LED. It's like space age secret, sub secret technology or something. I mean, I found videos on it, but nobody really goes into graphic detail to tell exactly this is exact metal. Now they got different types of metals that will produce different colors, or different types of materials that will produce different colors at the same, you know, the same way that how they change from red to blue to green.
Okay, so which color LED produces the most amount of electricity when you shine light on it?
Well, as far as I know, the red LED seems to do the best.
Okay.
But I would say for testing purposes, go get one of each color and see if there's any difference at all. You know, that I've found so far, that the red ones seem to be the best ones. And only one of them will only go up to so high charging the capacitor. Like, if you got an LED, you can probably get that LED to charge a small capacitor up to a half a volt. But once it gets to that half volt, it seems to start stabilizing where you can't put any more in, because the LED is now wanting to be powered by the same source that you're charging it with. You see what I mean?
Yes.
So it stops. It levels itself out. Now, if you could set that system up to charge, and then when it gets to a certain one, maybe using a transistor or something to stop the power long enough, and then discharge that capacitor, and then let it go back to charging again, then you could get more energy flow out of it. See what I mean?
Kind of like a pulse charger.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh man, that sounds very, very interesting. I mean, seriously.
Well,
if you find the LEDs in bulk, they're dirt cheap.
Oh yeah. Man, I'll tell you what, you can get a bunch of LEDs ordering them from China, and whatever you want to say about China, they got some really good electronics.
Deal with transistors, any PN junction, actually.
Well, let's say you can get a transistor to work as much as, let's say, 0.45 volts. And because you know that the top-off level of the charging the capacitor is going to be a half a volt. So if you go all the way to half a volt, then it'll stop charging and level itself out at a half a volt. And it stays there, too. And even after you take away the light, you can sit there and watch the voltmeter as it slowly discharges into the LED.
Did you do any testing at all to see what kind of wattage you were getting?
No, I didn't. I didn't get into that specific, but I know that something's going on there because it's actually charging the capacitor. And capacitors, you know, once you charge that capacitor, you change the power of that punch that's coming out of there. I mean, like in the farad range, 800 microfarad capacitor will blow your hand off. You know, so if you have a series of LEDs that you're charging up a capacitor, you know, by itself that LED may not have any punch to it.
I wonder what you could do if you had, like, for example, 10,000 LEDs hooked up apart, you know, like you said, some of them in series and some of them in parallel, where you could actually produce a usable amount of electricity.
Well, like I said, when we're talking about in the visible light range, they also have in the infrared, they're like the remote controls on your TV.
Right.
Those work off of infrared, and so you don't actually see that. But anywhere where there's heat, there's infrared light. And so if even if it's at night, you know, you got this thing sitting not too far away from your fireplace or your stove or whatever, your heater, there's infrared light that will be going through this thing.
Yes.
And so you could charge even during the nighttime, you know?
Right. Especially on a clear night out in Colorado when you see up to 10 billion stars.
Yeah, there's, you know, like I said, there's even in pitch black, believe it or not, even in pitch black, there is spectrums of light that is going on. We only see light at a certain frequency range. But
human eye only sees like 10% of the light spectrum?
Yeah.
Okay, so the other 90%, if we could, like you said, if we build something that could actually take that light and produce electricity, by golly, you're talking about an efficient solar panel.
Yeah, if you can take a remote control, you can see a little diode light up on one off the remote itself, but you don't see on the opposite side. You don't see no stream going between you and that TV. You don't see that light, but there's actually light being transmitted between you and that there's a pickup on the other side, another little LED. And
it doesn't have to be aimed direct, so it would be easier to
install a solar panel made of LED booth, and it would produce a lot more electricity for its size and cost.
Yep. You could do a side-by-side function. You could have a big old, like using the infrared light, the LED infrared detector diodes. You could have a panel made up of infrared detector diodes that would pick up heat. Heck, you could have that thing facing the dirt, you know. The ground's going to be different. There's going to be a temperature difference between the dirt and the air. And there's still heat coming off the dirt, you know. And have you seen those cameras that the fire department use that determine, the hot spots in a fire?
Yes, right.
Well, you know, that's some pretty amazing technology, and that's pretty much in the same realm. It can sit there and tell the differences of the heat, you know, pretty accurately too. So wherever there's heat, there's light. You see what I mean?
I love it.
And so if you got the infrared detectors and you made a circuit out of that, if only one infrared detector could pick up half a volt, and you was charging the capacitor with that half a volt, once it gets to its maximum potential, where now it's wanting to try to capacitor is now wanting to run that energy back in and run it as a light bulb, you know, as an LED, a light diode, whatever. You know, once it levels itself out. If you have a drop-off point there with a transistor that will allow that to discharge into a totally separate capacitor to where now that capacitor is empty and it's being recharged by the same infrared detector diode. You see what I mean? You domino it off into another deal, and you're keeping the charge flow. And I'm just talking right now, just one single infrared diode, one transistor, and two capacitors. You've got a capacitor bank for storage that is being filled up whenever that transistor kicks over, and so on down the line. Make any sense?
Yeah. I seen a guy took I forget who it was. He took a whole strand of those white LED Christmas lights, and he had to basically, you've got half of them light up on the positive swing of the AC, and the other half light up on the negative swing. He took if you notice, there's a couple little there's two resistors, one for each side of the current, to help trim down the. Yeah, I mean, each LED on there is like 3.6 volts, and they total it up till it gets close to 120, or basically close to 100 volts. And then they put a resistor in there to limit the current so they don't blow. He took the resistors out and just put the suckers in both sides in parallel. And he got the voltage. He got the voltage pretty decent. He was like 90-something volts. With the sun hitting on it, but I mean, it wasn't much current at all. You're still looking at, I think you got like 30 something milliamps out of the thing with the sun beating down on them. You had them all aimed up so the crown is round, and it makes kind of like a magnifying lens to focus, to take that light, kind of like putting a magnifying lens, you pull it out until the image disappears, and you're just looking at the colors as you're moving it around colors of certain points. So basically it does the same thing. With the sun going through that, it amplifies it down there on the PN junction. And, I mean, he was charging up capacitors real nice.
Well, as far
but,
as...
I mean, it's not enough to run very much, but, I mean, because you're dealing with milliamps, but still, the voltage was definitely there.
Yeah, but see, regardless of how it starts off with just the milliamps or the current flow or whatever, it's not till a certain stage when you're actually going to need that extra current flow, that extra power to run all the inefficient stuff that we actually run. Charging up that capacitor, once you get that capacitor charged up, you got a difference going on there. You know, you see what I'm trying to say? It's you take it step by step. You bring the voltage in. You charge that capacitor up, when you discharge that capacitor, you got a bigger punch going on.
Yeah.
So, if you can pick up all the different ranges out there, like the LED's doing, the solar panel is pretty much got the same kind of reaction going in there, just a little bit different chemistry. You're moving light energy, heat is light, light is heat, vice versa, and all of it is energy, all of its frequency ranges. You find the exotic materials that can literally pick up any of this energy, moving it over to usable current, that's not a problem.
So she says, you said you did this last night.
Yeah.
Was in the dark and it was doing that?
No, I was just using the light coming off of a light bulb.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, so that's regular incandescent light. I've seen these modern-day solar panels that go out there and look at these little dancing toys that they make over in China. It's just a little solar powered. There's no battery in there. There's just a capacitor and a little tiny wig-wag motor inside there. But, they sit there and dance around. You can take an LED light and shine it onto that little solar panel, and that LED light has enough energy released from it to actually make that thing dance. Now that is an efficient solar panel.
Yeah.
So why aren't we making solar panels like the Chinese are making these little toys?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
You're getting physical work out of this. That thing is dancing. It's moving some mass around. Now if you scale that up,
15% efficient.
Regardless, that it's still impressive coming from a toy. You've got an electric motor essentially going on inside there that's moving some plastic around, and this toy's dancing around, and it's coming from a little tiny solar panel, and you can use an LED light to charge that thing. Try to get any amount of energy off of a normal solar panel with just one little LED light. You see what I mean?
Yep.
There's some energy transfer that's really impressive as far as I'm concerned.
Very inefficient use of a kick butt solar panel.
Yeah.
Because stop to think, you buy that toy for $1. It was made on the other side of the world. I mean, we're talking all the plastic, the motor, the this, the that, and the solar cell, and all the little electronic parts, capacitors and stuff, and the packaging, and the shipping, and the distribution. And when you get right down to it, what was the actual cost of the solar cell itself? I'm taking somewhere around 0.1 cents.
Yeah. If you want to make one of the baddest solar panels in the history of time so far, thus to date, go figure out where the heck the Chinese, where you can buy their solar panels for bulk range, and then take them solar panels and set them up just like whenever you buy solar panels, they come in like little blocks that are like maybe 4 or 5 inches square, and then you run them in series and make your solar panel, or you can run them parallel, however you want to run it for whatever voltage. But you take these little tiny solar panels that they're putting in these toys and do the same exact thing, and I guarantee you that's going to be one efficient little turkey there. You can put that inside and use the light off the ceiling,
Exactly what you're talking about is what I'm talking about. I mean, if you could buy, like for example, these handheld calculators that are solar powered. I mean, I've had one for 8 years, and it was still working.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the calculator only costs $1. So what if you took 1 million of those solar panels and hooked them together? How much power would you have then?
Well, like I said, every penny you throw in the bucket.
The thing is, it wouldn't cost $1 million.
No.
And it would produce an unbelievable amount of electricity.
Well,
but this would have enough money to buy 1 million calculators and then take them apart.
Who's got that much time?
Back to making those little mini solar panels. Buy $1 million, I'll probably get $1 million of them for a couple grand. And then hire some people to put them all together into one big solar panel.
Yep.
You so, buy
or you wind up with a really low price solar panel for the amount of electricity that it put out.
When you... Hello, Echo. I'm back. Anyway, when you think about the LED itself, they're amazing. Number one, they don't produce a massive amount of heat. And you can make a lighting system out of LEDs. There's so many videos out there how people are making these home floodlights using LEDs. They're just amazing. And they don't use very much electricity. And to think that you could actually take and use an LED as a solar panel, you know, and charge up a capacitor or even a cell phone for that matter. I've actually seen a couple videos out there where people have charged cell phones using LEDs. You know, maybe it takes longer to charge it up, but you're only using one LED. And like I said, once you get to a certain range and that it gets to that threshold there, it wants to bring that energy back. So what if you had a diode to stop the energy, only allow the energy to go one direction? That's what an LED does anyway. It's only allows the electrons to flow in one direction. Now what if you had an LED that would allow the electrons to continue to flow through one LED, but to stop it from going back and wanting to run that LED? See what I mean?
Right. Oh no, wait a minute. That's a misconception. The polarity is the same either way. Same as on a DC motor. You spin, you put 5 volts to it. It's going to spin so many RPMs. Some people think you need to spin it in the opposite direction to charge, but no. The deal is if you go faster in the same direction, the voltage is higher in that motor than it is in the battery. The voltage is in the same direction it was before, but the current starts going the other direction. It sounds confusing.
They use diodes and LEDs to change from AC current to DC current.
Right.
And so that's what I'm trying to say, but at a certain point, that LED, once it charges that capacitor up, an LED, it will want to start running that LED. Kind of like the back EMF on a generator?
Yeah, but it doesn't go backwards. The voltage is the same. It's the current. Let's put it this way. If I've got a 5-volt battery over here and a 6-volt battery, and I put the positive to the positive and the negative to the negative,
equal.
The 6-volt is still the same polarity as the 5-volt, but it's going to be charging the... It's got to be charging that 5-volt.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So when you get enough sunlight on that on the LED, the voltage is still the same direction. It's just the current is going in the opposite direction.
All right. Well, I'm a guessing.
It sounds confusing, but it's true.
I'm a guessing. I'm not understanding exactly what you're trying to say to me, because if you take a look at the capacitor, you'll have a positive and a negative side on there. You take a look at the LED, there's a flat side, which is negative, and there's a long wire on the opposite side on the round side, which is positive. You take those two and reverse them and connect the positive to the negative on the capacitor and the negative to the positive on the other side of the capacitor on the LED. So you essentially, you know, flip them around and connect them.
Okay, I get what you mean. I see what you mean. Yes. You're right. Just changing. Yeah, okay, yeah.
So what happens is, when the light energy is coming through the LED, it charges the capacitor up. It's already set up to ready to go, come back the other direction. Once it gets to a certain voltage, it won't turn that LED on.
Neither created or destroyed.
Yeah, but since you're trying to run it and charge it at the same time, nature stops it right there.
Yep.
You'll maintain a 0.50 volts, but you can't do anything with it. It stops. And so
kind of like a clear plastic tube.
Yeah.
You fill it with water and you put it in the shape of a U with the ends up, and what you got is a water level.
So
raise one side, it's basically going to raise the other side.
So what Tesla and guys like Bedini and our other ones had figured out a long time ago, it wasn't the energy that you're putting in, and it wasn't the energy that you're getting out the other side. the Holy Grail was the reaction, you know, like nature always tries to balance itself out, like a water level that they use to level out a house. You know, you could take a long hose and you can put water in this thing and you can raise and lower it on each side. And actually, it'd take three people to do this, or possibly four with a couple of radios, and call back and forth. You could take a tape measure and drop it down on each side, and the water will be the same distance off of the dirt. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And so nature balances itself out the same exact way with electricity and energy. Once it gets to that balance point, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. So what Tesla and Bedini and the rest of them figured out was, it wasn't that energy coming in or the energy going out. It was that reaction of nature slapping it back down. That was the energy that they were capturing, kind of like Raymond doing his deal with where he's using his finger to pick up a massive amount of weight using leverage. You see what I mean?
Right.
It's that on the way back that's the energy that they were they were siphoning off to the side. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it's Scott. You remember you were trying to explain to me about the capacitor thing, about the diaphragm effect and the bouncing back and forth? Is that that possibly what's happening with the LED is charging up the capacitor, but it, now all of a sudden it's trying to get in there, but then the electricity is bouncing back, and that's causing the LED to actually light up, which means that the capacitor is full.
Yeah.
And it's what she says is talking about, emptying the capacitor.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yep. You see what's going on now, huh?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
When you get to that range right before it is completely full, you pull the plug, you dump the load, pow, right into another capacitor bank.
Oh, man, that sounds very interesting.
I'm still going to have losses, but, You're playing with electricity. You're doing something with it. You're putting it to work. You're doing all that kind of stuff. I mean, you sit there and you tap a voltage on a coil and put a capacitor across it, and it's going to keep going back and forth through the coil, and its momentum's going to keep trying to push it one direction. Then it's going to go the other direction because the capacitor's storing up that pressure and then pushing it back the other way, and it's going to come to a resonant frequency. Basically, you tap that what they call a tank circuit, which is that coil and capacitor. You tap it with the DC, and it rings.
Well,
it rings at the resonant frequency. I mean, you can do a lot of cool things with that.
Here's a concept
as a Tesla coil. You know,
here's a concept that'll probably give me the old boot to the butt. You wouldn't believe how much energy is actually released just by taking the doggone 9-volt battery or even a pin light battery and tapping a wire onto from the positive to the negative. You can actually pick it up on a radio. You know, if you take any material, it doesn't even have to be a coil of wire, just a plate, anything, any metal, and you short that thing out just for a second, and you just sit there and tap it. You can have a AM radio sitting a short distance away from that, and you can hear that discharge every time you tap that. The same thing on the capacitors and a blinking LED. If you take a capacitor, a little coil of wire, and a blinking LED.
I can explain that.
Well, let's hear it.
You have a coil and a magnet in your radio. You have a constant variable as the magnet, meaning that it has a bubble, right? A magnetic field. The coil has a constant flow in it as well, right? Because of the battery or it's plugged in. When you cause a collapsation in the natural media, it sends an effect, and because the coil has a constant of value in it and the copper can take on new electrons, is what they say, you cause the collapsation in the natural media, and it sends that wave all the way down, and the coil gets it conflicted with that.
So,
if you take the magnet away, it will not work. You can still have energy going through the coil, but because there's no magnet there for it to push back on,
if you took and threw a pebble in a pond and that ripple went across there, when that water is moving through the air, it's bumping into hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, whatever's in the atmosphere, it's bumping into it. You should be able to pick that up on a radio. You should hear a static going on. Kind of like if you get certain areas in the AM frequency range where you hear nothing but static going on. Are you literally picking up every doggone movement that somebody's making with feet all over the planet?
Yes.
That's
yes.
what I'm talking about. So that's
it's either a startup on a collapsation or an expansion. That's how you get your positive and your negative. And a collapsation is a negative and an expansion is a positive.
So with that said, and taking into account the crystal radio, which doesn't take any batteries, you're pretty much plugging it into the dirt and using a crystal oscillator to actually get
crystal diode.
Okay, well either way, you're getting radio frequency. You can hear the radio through the dirt. You know they were making these what they call them. Oh, doggone it, they make them into war to hear radio stations. Foxhole radios. No batteries.
The inductance in the air of the radio
media
induced in the coil and basically tuning that coil to that frequency. When you get close to it, the diode starts rectifying and pulses your little speaker.
Well, there you go,
it's
man.
Free radio.
Can I go a little deeper?
Sure.
Okay. If we're all sitting at a symphony right now, what instrument are you going to hear over all instruments in a symphony?
The drums?
I don't think they're going to play drums in a symphony. Maybe. Like an actual classical music symphony. The cello and the bass. Because the cello and the bass... If you look at the way the instruments are made, the cello and the bass play through two medias. They play through the telluric lines, the solid element, because if you look at what it sits on a big long obelisk or pin, which it goes into the ground, and then they play through the natural media, the air capacitance. They play through two capacitance over all the instruments. Violin's only one in the air. It doesn't have a needle on the end of it and it's shoved in the ground or on the ground. Not literally shoved in the ground, but on the ground. Meaning it's going into the earth. And you could hear it over any other instrument in any symphony.
So, either way, what we're talking about, you just explain exactly what's going on in the LED as far as exotic materials and frequency ranges that each one of them can accomplish, but we are literally sitting in an ocean of energy and frequency ranges of epic proportions. We haven't even scratched the surface of all the different, just the known frequencies alone. There are so many that are unknown, and so many different light spectrums that all this energy could be tapped into. Now, granted, one LED going to run your house? No, but if you expand on that little concept of what's going on inside there, you got it, man. You see what I mean?
Yeah, right. I like your analogy of we have not scratched the surface. It's like you want to key a car, but you don't know where the key is.
Yeah.
Oh Lord. Exactly. We know it's there. We won't scratch it, but we can't find the key.
So either you throw nature off balance and grab that energy on the swing back, or you actually tap into the actual flow of this energy itself and on the way, like say the wind's blowing, right?
Right.
When the wind blows through my window on the south side of the house, it's going to come in, it's going to bounce off my chair, my computer, it's going to bounce off the wall, it's going to go out the door over to the other side, then it's going to go around the corner, and then it's going to work its way out the window on the opposite side. I didn't do anything but guide it all the way through. So that wind, it didn't stop blowing just because I had things in the way. It just worked its way around, went on through. So if you've got this thing set up to where when the energy flow, all the different frequencies are being picked up, and in between the deal, you've got, let's say, your house being your appliance that you're running. That energy's flowing through. It don't matter. It's going to find its way out one way or another. You know, you're not going to stop it. Have you ever been able to stop wind?
Or no.
Or water, for that matter. I mean, you can contain water if you got a sealed container, but it's just a storage like a capacitor.
Yeah.
So you keep pouring water into that, and the water's going to find its way out. Period. What the heck is that?
That's my clock. I keep turning it off. It's a bird clock. Chirps a different type of bird every hour.
That's cool, man. Sounds like somebody was jumping up and down on the bed with his
feet over his head, too.
He swears
they're electronic birds, but I keep seeing him wipe his head. It makes me question.
Anyway, there's guys out there. I can't remember what this dude's name is. We talked about him a little while back. Then he talked about energy from the vacuum and different other stuff. If the concept of what they're talking about, I'm fully on board with what I just said about, you know, wind blowing through one door, electricity flowing through something, you know.
It's illegal for me to put a windmill up.
Well, and there's got to
be a reason.
Even
a small one.
There's got to be a reason why.
They had one at the local Canadian Tire. They had Canadian Tire was selling kits, like nice big kits, and they had one there, and then all of a sudden the city put a freaking ban on them. Because they make too much noise, but yet they sell those rodent control things that make a really humming noise on a high pitched level. My neighbor had one. I went over there and smashed it because it was driving me nuts. She's like, "How do you hear that? Nobody else can hear it." I'm like, "I can hear it. It's driving me nuts. I can't sleep."
Well, what about the sound that tires are making buzzing down the road all day long? That's
yeah,
going to aggravate somebody.
What about the police through 3 o'clock in the morning at the bar? Freaking with their sirens and everything else over nothing.
Yeah, the drunk neighbors arguing back and forth.
Yeah.
What about your neighbors rattling and loud air conditioner?
Off topic.
Well, either way, what you got going on right there is sheer stupidity. You know, they're talking about green energy. They're talking about saving the planet from the so-called global warming scam and so on and so forth. But yet, they're going to holler at you for putting a windmill up. They're going to say, well, it's an environmental hazard. It's an eyesore. You know, come on.
Well, technically, you could make the shaft of the windmill have all kinds of flowers and pots coming out of it.
You could hide your solar panels in the bottom of your swimming pool, for Pete's sake. You could hide the wind turbine in the side of your house. Look on the top of all the roofs of every house out there. Most of them have these little turbines that are used to cool down the ceiling. Why aren't those generating electricity, for Pete's sake?
You know what gets me is laws, like you're talking about the cities that pass laws against this and against that. I mean, in Louisville, Texas, the ordinance against wind turbines doesn't say you can't have a wind turbine. It says you cannot use wind power by any means for the production of electricity or mechanical energy. If you take the strict wording of the law, of the ordinance itself, the city itself is in violation.
Well, who do you figure lobbied for that one?
You got me. I mean, somebody's brother-in-law would make me help with that for that, I'm sure.
Well, if I owned a power company and I seen all these guys starting to pop up solar panels and windmills, I'd get a little concerned because now they don't need me as much. You know, even if it was only a few watts less, it's a few pennies less in my pocket. So I'm a complain and piss and moan and call the local town councils and say, look, that windmill he's got's going to kill birds, man. And my coal fire plant's going to choke the bird.
The wording of the ordinance: you cannot produce electricity by wind power by any means. However, every metal electric power
pole in the entire city is grounded because when the wind blows across it, it blows up static electricity, and if you don't have it grounded, it will kill you when you walk by it.
So why aren't we using that static electricity buildup instead of throwing it in back into the dirt, throwing it into a capacitor bank, kind of like the atmospheric grip are doing with the two 200-foot towers and the wire going across there with the nanocarbon on there that are picking up 2,000 kilovolts out of the doggone air?
Because the reason we're not using it is because of the stupid law. I mean, they're making it, but yet they're throwing it away. Because it says you can't make electricity usable electricity by wind power. That's the law. It doesn't say you can't do it. It just says you can't use it.
So yeah, but they got trained by the city.
You can put a wind turbine in any city that has a law against the wind turbine as long as you don't use that electricity.
Yeah.
That cop wanted your wind turbine. He didn't even know it was illegal.
Policemen came by my place on emergency call. It was a false alarm, but they came by about 1 o'clock in the morning. And both of them, it was two cops together. And one of them, he saw my wind turbine turning around up on my hobby shop out here. And, oh, God, he thought, oh, look at the thing. He said, that is beautiful. It's like a work of art. He said, I've got to have one. I would want for my backyard. And the thing is, he's a Louisville policeman, didn't even know it's against the law.
Yeah, see, that's the whole deal, the whole law thing. Get me in front of the doggone Senate and the Congress, man. Just get me there and make sure that nobody can throw me out, because I got to have some words with these jive turkeys, man. Yeah. They're sitting up there hollering, hands up, don't shoot, and all this crazy stuff. They're talking about don't pollute because of global warming and all this crazy stuff. They can't get their facts in order. They're sitting there raising a ruckus. They don't even know what the heck they're talking about. They don't even read the bills before they pass the doggone things. They have no idea the basic science on how to even get clean energy. So they need some wild hair madman like me to get up there and educate these fools. Don't sit around and holler at me about global warming and then carbon emissions and all this kind of... They found a good way to make money. They're going to charge you for CO2 coming out of your mouth and methane coming out of the cow's butt. But are they going to do anything with that money that's going to reduce the whole so-called global warming? You see what I'm saying?
Exactly. It's all about money.
What have they done?
It's not a conspiracy either. It's all about money. It's about greed.
Yeah.
And nothing to do with conspiracy.
Since Al Gore wrote the book...
That green person wants that.
Since Al Gore wrote the book Earth in the Balance, has he ever accomplished anything towards but costing everybody else money while he makes himself a lot of money flying around in his corporate jet and his corporate limousine and living in his 9-bedroom mansion up on the hill by the seashore that he said the ocean levels were going to rise? Does that mansion float or something? I mean, come on. You're going to buy a mansion next to the ocean when you said the sea levels are going to rise. Has he done anything to stop global warming? Has he done anything towards stopping it? Has he made it so that everyone can have a solar panel or a windmill, even in your area, Raymond, where they say it's illegal?
No, not a thing.
So my point is this. Somebody needs to get up there with a big rubber chicken and smack down all the doggone communist chicken-loving senators and congressmen and knuckleheads up there that are sitting there spewing out a bunch of ignorant propaganda instead of getting anything accomplished.
The federal law is for. The law is made by the federal government. It's for people like you and me and the rest of us guys here on this radio show. But the thing is, the individual cities, some little old lady with a cat in heat, because the cat got scared and the wind turbine was turning and she thought the wind turbine was scaring the cat. I mean, you know, come on. City, and without the city checking into it, we can't have this boy's cat tearing the furniture up because the cat's in heat and there's three tomcats outside hollering and screaming.
Yeah.
And it's the wind turbine. You know, but yet they passed this law.
It means they like it.
The squeaky wheel gets the grease. The little old lady goes up to the city council, complains. Nobody objects, and so they just pass the law.
Yeah, but you said something profound.
What we need to do, we need to get a bunch of guys together that know what they're talking about and go to these city councils and get, I mean, and it needs to be publicized, okay, so that the other cities, you don't have to get any one of them. You just get a couple of dummies that work their laws the wrong way. They write the law with no engineering experience whatsoever.
You said something profound there, Raymond. You said the squeakiest wheel gets the grease, right?
Exactly.
Well, here's another thing. In the alternative energy community, the squeakiest wheel gets greased. Look at Stan Myers, man. Look at what happened to Tesla. Look what happened to anybody who bucked the system of the electric company and the coal and the oil companies.
Right.
So,
but Stan Myers did his thing before the internet got as big as it is now. Back years ago, before the internet and so on, if you come up with something really profound like he did, then yeah, it benefited the oil companies and the energy companies to bump somebody off. But nowadays, I mean, there's so many people that with so much knowledge and put it out on the internet for free that they can't bump you off. It's useless. It's the guys that come up with something for real, get greedy, want to hold that knowledge to themselves, try to patent it and make money off of it, and then, well, duh, they find out, okay, you've got this this knowledge, and nobody knows about it but you, well, then we need to bump you off. That's why it's your benefit not to be greedy. You come up with some good idea, put it out there. Let's go for it. I mean, who cares? Makes a buck off of it. Let's get everybody involved.
Perfectly said, man. I'm trying to put out ideas as fast as they're coming through my brain, like the whole LED concept, the whole wireless energy concept, every idea that I've studied or researched or whatever, or idea that come up with myself, I'm trying to put them out there, and they're like little pieces of the puzzle. Grab them and run with them. I don't care if you become a millionaire. Just do it. Take these ideas and run with them, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. That's my attitude completely. I've had many people, you ought to patent that. I don't want to patent it. I want somebody to do it. I don't have the money. Look, my coal steam turbine, it is phenomenal. If you just sit down with a cup of coffee and relax, shut your eyes, and think about the concept. It's exactly what we're talking about. It's taking used energy and reusing it.
Well, here's another layer to add to what you just said. 90% of all the energy that we use is waste energy. I mean, everything's putting off magnetic fields or frequency ranges. I mean, there's so many radio waves, there's so many magnetic fields around you that it's just mind-boggling. And sometimes it can be mind-boggling depending on how intense that specific frequency is, but either way,
you not just use energy, but you can take the energy you have used and reuse it.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Absolute perfect example is an air conditioner. Your air conditioner takes the heat out of the air in your house and throws it outside. Well, instead of throwing it outside, you can throw it into a cold steam turbine and use that heat that you took out to make electricity to run the air conditioner. Now, it won't run the air conditioner total 100%, but it sure as heck would reduce your electric bill.
Yeah, and why not vent that heat coming from your air conditioner down into a water tank and heating that water with that waste heat?
Yeah, and store it up for the winter. Heck yeah, why not?
That's what I'm saying. Every electric appliance is putting off waste energy. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to measure it. You know, if it was just a case of everything was perfectly efficient, you should only be able to measure the input and the output side. But now you can measure it in the middle. You can measure it on the top, on the side, underneath, from a foot away. You know, you can measure it because you're wasting all that doggone energy.
Right.
So, with all that knowledge in hand, if it only takes so much energy to bump the electron to get the energy released that you want to cause the fan to come on and blow cool air in your face, then why not tune it back down? Because look at this, man. I know I'm sounding like I'm on a super rant of epic proportions, and I'm going over things over and over again, but sometimes that's necessary. In the United States, we use 60 hertz to run our electric. If you look on the motors over here, they'll say 60 hertz. What's the true operating range of that? I don't know, but overseas, they're running theirs on 50 hertz. Why is it? What's the difference? Why are they running theirs on 50 and we're using 60 over here? What's the difference?
The reason why we do it over here is so that we can keep that second hand on them electric kitchen clocks going on a synchronous motor and not lose a second throughout the year.
So why are they doing it on 50 over there?
I don't know. I guess they got less teeth on their gears.
That's Tesla.
All right. Well, if you go on one side of the planet and you flush the toilet and the water goes counterclockwise, if you go on the opposite, the other side of the planet and you flush the toilet and the water is going the opposite direction, what's that tell you?
Well, what's it do on the equator?
Good question.
That makes a mess. No.
All I'm saying, if the electric motor works over there on 50 hertz and it works over here on 60 hertz, what's the other ranges that it'll work as well? And at 50 hertz, isn't it using less energy than it would be at 60 hertz?
I think if you go at 50 hertz, you might just get a little gain out of that. Larry's talking about using the 54 hertz, and because he's using the 54 hertz, and the way, at the angle, rod and math and everything that he winds his coils, he's able to put, like 30 amps through something that can only take, a wire that, usually only takes 7 amps, and he's getting negligible, like 5%, I think like, well, only 5 degrees worth of heat coming out of it, where that wire should have burnt up.
And in other words, it's not getting too hot. And
your transformers that are running on 50 and 60 hertz get hot because it's fighting and it has a resistance, which is called reactance, inductive reactance, against the magnetic fields around it.
Well, and there we got a problem. There's people around the world that are freezing their butts off. And in that same house that they're freezing their butts off, if you was to actually go around and measure temperatures of other appliances that are running that aren't heat-related, they're wasting a lot of heat, man.
Yeah. A lot of the doggone frequencies, like even Hitler took that 432 hertz and decided A was supposed to be tearing. Tuned to 440 hertz just because it irritates people. So now our music's got more like thrasher music and crazy stuff. The electricity, if we went to 54 hertz, the plants would grow better. A lot less people would be getting cancer and all these other diseases that are basically due to the RF frequencies around them.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I call it mad science for a reason, because I'm sitting here, I'm not maybe the brightest individual on the planet, but I can see that the system that we've got, it sucks, man. It costs too much. And the power company has you under the thumb. Anytime they don't like you, they can just flip the switch and shut you off. You know, come out and pull your meter for 30 seconds and charge you $500. You know, for whatever. And so they got you under the gun. And so when guys like us get together and we talk about stuff like this, it should motivate the rest of the world to saying, hey, you know, I'm tired of the power company too. So why don't we, like, jump on board and make this happen? Do some serious research into exotic materials that the LEDs made up with. We know that different types of metals like aluminum are good for picking up radiant energy. We know that copper is good for transmitting that energy from point A to point B. There could be something a whole lot better than copper, you know. But either way, copper is what we generally use for all of our electric motors. There could be something that would take a less amount to run on a certain frequency than what we're using right now. There's so many different advancements that could be made just by learning what these materials are doing. You know, taking factoring in the solar panel, how it functions, the photovoltaic cells, how they function, LEDs, how they function, static energy that's picked up, you know, like Raymond was saying, that ground, the pole of the ground, because as the wind's blowing, it's picking up a charge. The atmospheric group's picking up energy out of the doggone air. You can get energy out of the dirt. You can get energy from the wind. You can get energy from, you know, salt water. You can get energy from just about everything. Everything under the sun is energy, including the sun being energy. And the earth itself has so many squeaks and creaks and piezoelectric crystals and iron and all different types of metal. Anybody out there want to tell me that there is no such thing as free energy? Anybody?
Yeah, really.
I think I want to get back into the studies of the testatica.
Well, brother, if it furthers the cause of sticking it to the man, I'm with you all the way. I'm shouting all four points of the globe. Look, there's electricity there. There's electricity there. If you're going to build a house from start to finish, and I don't understand why we still do this to this very day. We start off and we pay thousands of dollars to have them build us a stick house cracker box. It's kind of like the three little pigs. One built his house out of sticks, one built his house out of straw, and the other one built his house out of bricks. It's obvious the guy with the bricks had more common sense than the guy with the straw and sticks. All right? We could build a house right now that would be so super efficient as far as heating and cooling that there would be no high heating or cooling bills. We could take that same house and make it to where it would not only pick up solar, it'd pick up thermal from the ground, it'd pick up static from the air. It would use everything that's going on in nature to power that house. So you're not burning any coal, you're not doing anything but letting the nature power your house. All right, and so we have the capability to do this. We have exotic materials. We have waste materials in the dump. Thousands and thousands of pounds of plastic floating around the ocean. Imagine if you built the doggone house out of plastic. I mean, the doggone thing, first off, you know, if you coat it with something that's UV protectant, it's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to leak. The heat's not going to get out of it. They make coffee mugs out of plastic, thermoses out of plastic, they make coolers out of plastic. There's so much stuff that's made out of plastic. Dude, and if you get tired of your house and you want to get rid of it, grind it up and build something else with it.
Yeah, there you go.
Glass, tons and tons of glass. This world has so much sand, it's ludicrous. There's sand on my property. There's sand on your property. There's sand in the ocean. There's glass everywhere. Throw a nuke in the middle of the desert. What do you get? Radiated glass. They made dishes out of it.
Really?
I'm telling you, man. Because they glow. If you ever put what do they call it? It's depression glass or something like that. There's one of them you can put under UV light, and that stuff will actually glow, man, because it's got little radioactive material inside of it. It's crazy, man. And the old clocks from way back in the day, the guy that built the little mini reactor, he went and bought up a whole bunch of old clocks, scraped off the glow-in-the-dark portion of the clock, and used that material to pile up and build him a little radioactive device. It was a Boy Scout that did it. So, you got americium in your doggone smoke detector. That's radioactive. Anytime something's decaying, it's releasing energy. So we got tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of radioactive waste, so-called radioactive waste. So why aren't we using that radioactive waste as it decays instead of boiling water with it? Why aren't we tapping into that using the invisible light that's coming off of it, whether it be the heat or whatever, to generate electricity? We could take and run some wires down in those big old dumps where they got all the radioactive waste and power the whole planet, for Pete's sake, for however long those batteries will last. Am I crazy?
No, you're not.
Of course you are.
A lot of sense.
Yeah.
If you want to get rid of radioactive waste, what do, man? If you got an energy release going on that you can't control, what do? You use that energy up as fast as you can possibly get rid of it. You say, hey, look, man, you got an extension cord? We got to get rid of this nuclear waste over here. We got to deplete it fast. So you want to get rid of that doggone energy, you have everybody and his brother stringing extension cords down there, plugging it into a coil system that's sucking that energy away from it as fast as possible, and there's your solution.
Yeah. Make your coil resonate at 54 hertz. Then put your diode on it to collect it. That'll do it.
Well, you're picking up light, you're picking up heat, you're picking up everything, anything, anytime there's any reaction, if you wave your hand in the air, you could if you tuned into the right frequency, you could actually hear that static discharge as your hand goes through the air. Because everything's bumping into everything. It's all releasing energy. Anybody disagree with that?
Nope.
Not me, that's for sure.
You use piezoelectrics?
Me and a friend made a just put a coil out there and a diode, and basically we put a battery to one side of the coil, and the other side of the coil we took the wire and we scraped it, the other side of the battery we hooked to the pile, and basically we dragged the other wire, the other end of the coil, across the pile, and we do Morse code back and forth to each other.
Well, there you go, man. And little kids took two pork and bean cans and strung a string in between them and stretched them out tight and talked back and forth and had a telephone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That acoustic wave went down there, vibrated on the other side, and you could put your ear up to that can and you could hear what your brother just said from however long that string is far apart. 5, 10 feet. Maybe more.
A lot more.
Yeah, so... There you go.
We used to put take the cutout lid, we punch a hole in the bottom of the can, take the string, run it through, take the top that was cut out, punch a hole in it, fasten the string to that, and drop it in so it would act like a diaphragm or a speaker. Then we would coat our string with beeswax, and we could talk 75 to 100 feet.
See? And Buddy was talking about them taking bamboo reeds the same size and one of them be upstream and be able to sit there and talk back and forth with each other.
Yeah.
So, energy is neither being created nor is it being destroyed. It's just exactly the way that I said. All you're doing is you're interacting with that field. You're causing a disruption that can be transmitted onto the other side. You can transmit data banging on the doggone table, man.
Yep. You know, what we're talking about is the efficiency of use of energy.
Yep.
So, for example, if you wanted to heat your house with an electric coil, put the electric coil in a box. Surround the box with Peltier devices. The coil heats up one side of your Peltier device. You have a fan on the other side blowing the heat that goes through the Peltier device into your house to warm your house, but at the exact same moment, the Peltier device is turning some of that heat into electricity. Now you're using the electricity to run light bulbs in your house to see. You're not wasting it because the heat from the light bulb is also heating your house. You're just getting more heat. You're getting light and heat from the same amount of energy.
Well, and that's exactly what we're all looking for, right? Using it efficiently. If your doggone electric fan is wasting energy, why not take that energy and use it to do something else useful instead of plugging into another outlet?
Right. Exactly.
Anyway, what do you say we all take a quick coffee break and I'll play Congressman Bongwater and Caveman Killed the Dinosaur?
I'm ready for a coffee break.
Alright, well, I think I'll start off with Congressman Bongwater and then I'll play Caveman Killed the Dinosaur. How's that sound?
Alright.
That's right, it's Congressman Bongwater here. Elect me and I'll screw you on taxes. Hello, America. This is Congressman Bongwater here. I will say whatever it takes to get elected. I will take bribes, and not only that, I will allow dead folks to vote for me. because I'm Congressman Bongwater, and I'm running as for President of these United States. Let it be known, America, that I, Congressman Bongwater, couldn't give a rat's ass about the rule of law. I intend on cutting every corner that I can possibly cut in order to fatten my wallet. Why, just the other day I caught my illegal alien maid sweeping dirt under the rug. I gave her a raise. I like the way she thinks. So, this is Congressman Bongwater, and I want your vote for the United States President 2012. I don't give a crap about your freedom, but I'll tell you I do as long as you cast your vote for me. And as far as taxes, well, you know, I got to raise taxes because I've only got 15 credit cards paid for by the taxpayers and they're all maxed out. And the other day when I was at the Lobster Shack, I got a door ding in my Mercedes. Of course, you know, that kind of rut my meal there, so I'm going to need donations from each and every one of you tax-paying citizens out there so that I can get the door ding fixed in my Mercedes and go back and have a good meal. Anyway, this is Congressman Bongwater, and I'm running for United States presidency. So elect me, and I'll tell you like it is. I don't give a crap about you. I just want that taxpayer money to fit my wallet. So here we go. 2012. Remember, Congressman Bongwater, I'm there for you.
Getting burnt out on the whole global warming deal. They're going to charge you taxes on CO2, so it's going to cost you to breathe regardless of what you say or do about it. I'm just going to humor them. Now, I got to say it. When the tax bills start rolling in for your carbon tax and all that, because, you know, they did say that cows are putting methane, which is another greenhouse gas, up into the air. I'm going into cork business because there's a lot of cows out there. And so you're going to have to put a cork in this way and you got to put a cork in that way in order to keep that cow from farting and burping, because otherwise you're going to cause global warming to happen so fast, you know, with all them cows farting. Either way, you know, the terrorists, they could probably like go around and feed all the cows beans, and the people for that matter, 3-bean chili. I mean, just think about it. If everybody's eating 3-bean chili and the cows are eating 3-bean chili, first off, don't stand behind the cow if there's a cork in this way, because if that cow decides he's going to sling some beans, you're liable to get an eye put out. You know, the thing about it is, if there was enough methane reaching from that cow's butt clear up to the Earth's atmosphere, the first time you went out there and lit up a smoke, we'd have some serious problems. You want to talk about global warming? Methane's flammable. I wonder if they figured that one out. Like I said before, man, I'm just gonna humor the global warming freaks and let them have it. Wait for my day in court and all that kind of stuff. That's about all I got to say on that episode. So y'all take it out how you want. I'm going into cork business, so if y'all need any corks for your cows, you know, they're going to be pretty good sized corks. So just don't stand behind them in case there's any gas buildup or anything like that, because I'd hate to have you get knocked out. You know, I'm going to have a disclaimer on there that says if you get hit in the face with a cork, hey, I'm not liable. It's better than blowing up if you had to light up a smoke, you know, with all them beans flying everywhere. Well, y'all take care. Peace. Good luck with that global warming. Yeah, before I take off, I got to say this. I had a eureka moment, and I got this theory on how the dinosaurs died. Okay, now picture this. picture yourself in an elevator and some scumbag comes up in that elevator and the door shuts and you're riding up and you're in between floors and turkey next to you rips one out, you know, and your eyes start watering, you're about to gag and you're ready to roll up out that elevator. Well, I was thinking about that. Now think about a dinosaur. They were huge, man. Imagine how much freaking gas comes out of a dinosaur's ass. Alright, I can see it now. This is exactly how it played out, right? Dinosaur's over there, and he's grazing and everything, you know, and caveman's over there by his cave, and he's getting ready to try to light up a fire because nighttime's coming, and he's figuring, you know, I gotta get this fire lit because it's gonna get cold out here. Well, long comes old T-Rex, starts chasing the dinosaur that's just now sitting there trying to graze, mind his own farewell. You know, suddenly that scares the living you-know-what out of the dinosaur, and he rips one loose, man, just about the time that caveman's over there, he's rubbing his sticks together and stuff, and all of a sudden a spark hits that cloud of methane, and boom! Every damn dinosaur on the planet just gone. It's just a theory. Alright, well, enough of that nonsense. I ain't messing with the global warming freaks anymore, you know, because they just get on my nerves anyway, because no matter what you say to them, their science is better than your science, and you don't know nothing. Alright, got to get that carbon tax passed. Hey, that's what it's all about. Money. Woo! We green people got to have money. Alright, peace, everybody.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Hello, everybody. We're back. If you want to power your house for free, go down to the local mall and have you a little button, a red button, that is connected to a magnet that is going through a coil of wire and on a spring-loaded system. Mount it to the wall, hook some speaker wire into that, drag it all the way to your house and hook it into a capacitor bank, and then do that same thing in every single mall in the entire United States, and then have all those wires running to your house, and put a sign right up by this little red button and specifically say, do not push this button. Under any circumstances, do not push this button. You will have thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people in all these different malls pushing this button over and over and over and over and over again and getting mad because it ain't doing nothing. Oh, why push the button? Why not push the button? Everybody's told somebody, just crazy guy comes running up there and just pushes the heck out of the button. Alright? Well, just out of sheer stupidity alone, you can generate enough electricity to run your entire freaking house. Because people are always going to do what you tell them not to do, for a fact. And so if you tell them not to push that red button, they're going to push that red button. And every time that magnet goes through that coil of wire, it's going to produce a charge, and it's going to go down that wire to your house and charge up that capacitor bank, which you in turn run whatever it is that you want to run. There's free energy out there, I'm telling you. Free energy in stupidity, free energy in intelligence, free energy in nature. There's free energy. You just got to want to use it. It takes a little bit of trickery to get around the man who has his hand on the light switch. Go over and look at the face of your the owner of the power company and tell him some sort of sad story why you can't pay your bill this month. And see how much despair he has on his face. While you're standing there in front of him, he might be all concerned and say, "Oh, well, you know, I feel bad for you, brother. Is there anything I can do?" But you don't hear him say, "Well, here, let me pay your bill for you."
Yeah.
Am I wrong? Wow, radio silence. Where's the cricket chirping? Don't everybody jump to the microphone at once, man.
I had to turn the microphone off because I've got some people of my business here, and I'll be right back in about 2 minutes.
All right, cool. So what do you think, Mighty?
I think I do a pretty good cricket.
You do. It sounds like a college-educated cricket.
Yeah. Doggone Jiminy.
But either way, man, it's like that, you know? There's so many things going on. There's people walking down sidewalks, piezoelectrics in the sidewalk could be used for generating electricity. People opening and slamming doors and... it can be used for generating electricity. Vibrations when a car goes down the road is vibrating the window glass of the buildings and sometimes literally blows them out from the acoustic wave from somebody's car backfiring or whatever. But there's so much energy being released. Sound energy, light energy, heat energy. There's energy everywhere. And so why not monopolize on whatever energy is in your natural environment around there? If you've got a noisy neighborhood, then use some of that vibration from that noisy neighborhood to vibrate piezoelectric crystals or some sort of rubber band with magnets on it going past the coil of wire to pick up the breeze as some lunatic is driving 75 in a 25 zone past your neighborhood, whatever. So where is there not free energy? Anybody? Anybody?
I think they ought to put movable panels in the road so when the cars run over them, the weight of the cars gears up to keep it generating going. Basically allow to charge the lights for the road at night.
Well, if you want a 10 kilowatt generator, strap some magnets to the politician's big lip when he's talking about global warming and while he's jaw-jacking.
Nice. Yeah.
That was good.
I'm serious. While he's up here talking about, we got to charge you carbon tax. You know, he's generating power with all his hot air blowing out of his mouth and the doggone lips flapping. They ain't done nothing but take money from people. And so what I'm trying to say is instead of letting them take your money, use that doggone money and some common sense to figure out what nature has provided for you already. If you got wind power and they say you can't throw up a windmill, throw down a wind turbine. You can put a wind turbine across the ground. Build your house in a constructed way to where the top of your house actually lets air flow through the roof itself. You know, have a dual layer roof up there. One to keep the heat and cool in, and one to actually pick up the wind that's blowing across your roof. You know, a tornado will rip your roof right off. But what if that tornado was able to be guided through that roof and to hit a whole bunch of turbines that are powering, turning generators that are powering your house? And if you live next to the ocean, you hear the waves slapping against the shore all day long, every day. Throw a little buoy out there with some paddles like the guy that did the floating generator and pick up that energy. You know, if you live next to a train track, put a vibrator deal down there to pick up the vibration of that train coming by. I mean, there's so much vibrations and sound, acoustic waves, and light energy, heat energy, and with this technology of the LEDs, as simple as that LED looks, there's some high-tech stuff going on inside of a light-emitting diode. And the organic light-emitting diodes are sending even more high-tech stuff in there.
They got a plane that can fly around the globe continuously and never run out of power.
That ought to tell you
something. Before they take off, they fill these ballasts with water. The plane has a wind turbine on the front, a vertical axis wind turbine with a scoop right in the middle of right between the wings, or basically on top of it. Now this thing is basically, it's got where it takes the electricity that's made there and turns, it's a real light plane, and it basically turns the water into hydrogen and oxygen. It lets the oxygen go and uses the hydrogen to lift the plane. And the plane goes up into the air with the nose pointed up, and it starts gaining speed. And off the, you know, it does all that off the battery. It starts gaining speed, and it just keeps on going until it gets up to the upper atmosphere, and it still it gets lighter and lighter, and just it gets up to a certain point where the air starts to get a little thin, and then they go ahead and they turn that hydrogen by collecting the oxygen in the air there, and they start turning, and they fill the ballast with water again, and it gets heavy, and it glides down. And the whole time, while it's going up and going down, the wind turbine is charging the batteries. And so, it just keeps on cycling back and forth.
So essentially what you're telling me is they've already designed a solar-powered, hydrogen-powered, electric-powered drone that can stay up there 24/7 regardless of whether it's day or night. All you got to do is follow the sun. You follow the sun and you can keep this thing going forever.
That's right. Because the atmosphere is miles high. They got plenty of runway up and plenty of runway down.
You know, piezoelectric crystals, when you flex them, when you put pressure on them, will produce electricity.
Yep.
And, you know, there's water pressure difference in the ocean itself, man. And so what's to stop you from making a windmill that will literally take some piezoelectrics and dipping them up and down inside the ocean to different depths to get different pressures to flex that? I mean, come on, man. You can put a dog on. Remember the bobbers that you used to use when you were fishing?
Yeah.
Well, when you put that bobber on there, your weight is kind of dangling underneath the water, and it's floating, and that it's jiggling that worm up and down. And so you're going from different pressure differences, whatever depth, even if it's only an inch difference, you know, you're changing the pressure by the depth of that doggone deal. And so that piezoelectric powers the doggone LED that's floating in your bobber.
Right. Basically going, putting pressure on an LED, on the crystal is not going to do anything, because once you tap the charge of that, then you have to take the pressure completely off it to get the opposite side of that AC.
You are. You're doing it by changing the temperature. You're doing it by changing the depth. It's one pressure down here. It's less pressure up there, so you're changing it.
That's like saying I can put my foot on the pedal of the bike and put my weight on it, and it's going to go down the road continuously. No, that pedal has to come back up.
Yeah. And that's what
you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So you constantly taking that crystal up and down.
Yeah.
And up and down. But the waves, the sound waves, or whatever you want to call it, due to the turbulence of the water, now that'll do you a lot of good.
Put it out in the South China Sea and see how much difference you get. They got 16-foot waves out there, man, and that's on a nice day.
Yeah, you can get tidal energy out of that real good. You might as well put that to a doggone.
Yeah.
You might as well put that to a
All I'm saying is not every idea is a good idea or not every idea is a great idea, but every little idea together used in conjunction and not putting all your eggs into one single basket, knowing that if the wind's blowing at any given time, the sun's out at any given time, it's cold. You know, I've seen ice batteries, for Pete's sake.
Dead floor tiles, as you walk through your house, they would they'd light up.
Yep. Put it on the dance floor, man. When people are out there dancing, it's lighting up the floor and you're not paying for it?
That's right. And they do. And they do. I think it's better if when you step on a tile, it lights the one up in front of it and the one behind it instead of the one drawn, because you don't need to know where you're stepping. You need to know where you're going to step.
I think somebody was trying to join in, man.
I didn't see anybody twinkling.
In the Mad Science Room, Travis Groves.
Oh, yeah, I'll go ahead and add him again.
All right, try that. Anyway, we're down to like the last 9 minutes of the show again, man. It's been a fascinating one. All I'm saying is, you know, the energy's out there. The materials are out there. We have the holy grail of energy sitting in front of our face, have had it all along. Nature has provided the energy, and we're not violating any conservation of energy. We're not destroying any energy. We're not creating any energy. We're not getting out more than we put in. All we're doing is tapping into what's going on. Nature's balancing itself out. We use that backswing to move something. And when the flow is coming through, we're using it. You know, the same amount of wind that came through that doggone window is going to be the same amount that goes out the other side. Might be slightly slower. Who knows? It might be faster. So, with that said, you guys got any last words of wisdom or anything? Nobody?
Give your kids sugar.
Well,
you have plenty of energy.
They'll be bouncing off the walls. Use that the acoustics from them yelling and the acoustics from the slamming against the wall. All of it's energy. Sound is energy. Light is energy. Heat is energy. Don't call it mad science for nothing. I try to tell everybody, you know, the simple basic science, you know, when you can take and make a battery out of a potato or a battery out of a lemon or out of a grapefruit, anything with citric acid, you can make a battery. You can make a battery with salt and water. You can make a battery out of the dirt. There's so many different places, so many different chemistries you can mix together that will give you a chemical reaction that will create electricity, hydrogen, oxygen. Anytime you disrupt the field of nature, nature pushes it back. You got that backswing. What else can I say? What do you think, buddy?
I think it's a great thing. Any energy you can get from any direction is a good thing.
Well, we're looking for a device. We're looking for something that we can put right down on the table in front of everybody.
A statica.
Even though that's it, put it out there. Even though in front of you you have piezoelectrics, you have Peltier elements that work off of temperature differences, even though you have treadmill motors, permanent magnet motors that you can turn into generators, you can even turn an AC motor into a generator, even though you have solar panels, even though you have LEDs that can pick up light or put light in or out or whatever, vice versa, if energy will go one way, it'll go the other way as well. So even though all of that technology is sitting down in front of your face and you're talking to a piezoelectric speaker which is traveling down through your computer and then sending a signal over the wire and out through the air and onto the other side and somebody else is listening to you, you still think there ain't no such thing as free energy because you're paying a light bill. So until we put a device that takes everything that nature has provided, all the energy that is around us, on the table of the average Joe, we're going to have this argument, and people are still going to be trying to charge you carbon tax for breathing and methane for the cow farting and so on and so forth. It's ludicrous, people.
So instead of charging us for soda, we ought to be charging them for the carbon they put in the soda.
Yeah! They're going to make the, they're going to take the fizzy out of your soda, people! Wake up!
The fizzy.
Yeah! No more bubbly soda. All you get from here on out is flat soda. You want to drink flat soda?
I'd rather drink Kool-Aid.
Well, if Al Gore has his way, you probably ain't going to get no doggone Kool-Aid. Costs too much money to make Kool-Aid. You're going to burn too much coal making the doggone Kool-Aid. You ain't getting no Kool-Aid, so shut up. Drink water.
Yeah, well, it's just a mirage, a gimmick. Because one volcano going off once a year is equivalent to all the cars going off all day, every day for 365 days.
Yeah, but look at the thermal heat from that one volcano. Tap into it. Yeah. Put a boiler system over there in Hawaii next to the volcano.
I don't know what the actual statistics are, but I did read somewhere just a few months ago there's 25 volcanoes worldwide erupting every minute of every day.
Yep.
And any one volcano in a 48-hour period puts off more carbon dioxide than the entire United States did in 10 years.
Okay, so here's a brilliant idea. Shut down every single nuclear power plant, shut down every single coal power plant, and tap into those volcanoes for Pete's sake. There's a lot of steam coming out of them puppies, man.
Yeah, but it couldn't be kind of that. So what's the point of doing? Shut down all the volcanoes. How do we go about that?
Like, we're
going to slow down or stop global warming. I think it would be easier to plug up all the daggone volcanoes and let the world explode under the pressure.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. And I'm going to find a way to tax it and make some money off the volcano. Once you shut down all the power plants, all the coal power plants, and the volcanoes are giving you free electricity, then Al Gore's going to figure out a way to say, oh no, it's killing that turtle over there on the equator. We got to shut this thing down, plug it up, pour some concrete down the volcano. Moron.
Yeah. Actually, we're going to control global warming. This is a natural phenomenon.
Yeah,
it happens. Why spend the money and the energy and waste your time trying to control it? Start learning how to deal
with
it. We can't stop it. We can't even really and truly by the clock slow it down.
Don't heat your water. Use the volcano.
Learn how to deal with it. Build your houses more efficiently. Build your cars more efficiently.
Yep.
Screw the environment. It'll take care of itself. When man dies off and there's no human being left alive, within 50 years, the world will be pristine again.
All right.
Happens.
I agree with you, Raymond. And Justin, thanks. Muddy, thanks. We're down to the last 2 minutes of the show. And I just want to say to everybody out there, if you don't think that electricity is free, you haven't been paying attention. Raymond can tell you, Justin can tell you, Muddy can tell you, Larry can tell you. All the alternative energy guys out there working on all types of different alternative wireless devices and such can tell you. All you got to do is pay attention. Tap into nature. It's as simple as that. You ain't going to hurt it. If you're worried about the coal power plant, shut it down and use a volcano. There's plenty of vents. There's cold water differences. There's hot. There's heat, cold, wind, thermal. I could go on and on and on, but we don't have on and on time. So with that said, stay tuned for the Hope Show coming up soon. And man, doggone it, I wish we didn't have to leave, but we do. So peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.